Chapter 2 is the story of Adam and Eve. Adam being formed of the dust of the earth, given dominion in the Garden of Eden. Eve then being formed, and they disobeyed and were cast out. You all know that the sentence of death for sin was passed upon Adam, and we read this in chapter 3 and verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There are a number of religious groups in Christendom which teach that man came to earth in spirit form from heaven, and that when his mortal body dies, he returns again into heaven. But there is no mention of that here by God Almighty, as recorded by the prophet Moses in this first explanation of death, only the statement that he would return unto the ground from which he was taken. Then the prophet Moses records the birth of Cain and Abel, and Cain's murder of Abel. In God's words here revealing Abel's death, we again find reference not to heaven, but to the earth. In Genesis 4:10, God said that Abel's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and the next verse he says that the earth had opened her mouth to receive Abel's blood. Chapter 6 begins the story of the flood of Noah's day, and as we read it, we find God brought on the flood because of the wickedness of men. In verse 6 it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." No condemnation of the earth itself, only man and his wickedness upon it. Many today liken the deliverance of Noah from the waters of the flood to what they claim will be their deliverance in the end of this age by what they call the rapture. But their rapture is supposed to take them off the earth and into heaven, but Noah and his family were not taken into heaven, only protected alive upon the earth by the ark as the earth was cleansed of wicked men. God's act was to preserve the earth, not to destroy it. Chapter 11 is the story of the Tower of Babel and God's scattering of its builders across the earth and confounding their language. Here again, we see that God's act was carried out in order to preserve the earth, not to destroy it. There is a further revelation here which has to do with heaven. Verse 4 of Genesis 11 tells us the purpose of the men who began to build the tower. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." You'll remember we just read Genesis 1:28 that God commanded his creation man to multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. But here men said, "No, we won't do that. We are going to build unto heaven so that we won't be scattered over the whole earth." Man was attempting to frustrate God's will for the earth, and God stopped it. Now today, most Christian denominations teach and preach and write and sing songs about how they are going to heaven and are not going to stay on the earth. But here, in the first recorded attempt by man to reach heaven in the books of the prophets, we see that God immediately frustrated their purpose and drove them back into the earth. Now let me repeat again. You folks who have been taught for years that your desired goal and your promised reward is to go to heaven and to leave the earth, you don't turn off your radio when this preacher begins to read something which seems to oppose your beliefs. You stay here. You listen. For I am going to read God's own history of his creation man and the earth. Yes, I am reading this from the Old Testament, from scriptures for which many modern preachers show great disdain and derision, But we read last week from the words of Jesus and his apostles that the mysteries of God were revealed in the scriptures of the prophets. So you stay and listen. Today we have dozens of different philosophies taught about the future of man upon the earth, but very few seem to know about God's plan and God's purpose for his creation earth. If ministers teach that God is going to do something which God has no intention of doing, then their words are in error and are of no consequence. Likewise, what the God deniers and the God haters say they are going to do with the earth is of no consequence either. The only thing that matters, the only thing which will actually come to pass, is what God himself says he is going to do with the earth. As our theme verse in Isaiah 14:27 says, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and whoso disannulleth, and his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" If you believe in God, if you believe that God is sovereign, if you believe that God has the power to do that which he wills to do, and if you believe in the Jesus Christ who said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," then you have every reason to try and learn just exactly what it is that God wills to do with the earth. And where else can you learn it but in the Word of God? So you stay with me. I am only attempting to prove what it is God himself has told us he will do. And then when we see in a general way what God has created the earth for and what he intends to do with it in the future, then we shall search in a specific way for God's purpose in creating America and see what God intends to do with America in the future. To America's founding by Christian men, about America's churches and America's government being set up according to God's Word, for all of which we praise God. And I believe all of that. I believe God Almighty purposed that America would be discovered when it was, that it would be colonized by the white race by which it was, and that it would grow to be the great nation of all human history, which it is. I think most of my listeners believe that. Some perhaps only in a general and vague way, but I think most Americans believe God had his hand on America at its birth. If so, then the America in which we live was in the will and purpose of God. But today we have a growing number of people who are attempting to tell us that God has no further purpose in the America of the future. And this view of future history is being expressed mainly by what we would consider two separate groups of people. First, we have the left wing, the atheist, the socialist, and the communist, or the people we would lump under the heading of the Antichrist. They visualize and work for an America which would be just one nation in a great one-world confederation of atheistic nations. That is the goal which the communists openly proclaim, and that is the goal toward which our own left-wing rulers are working as they reduce America's power and transfer our wealth and power to the United Nations and to enemy communist nations. Secondly, we have a large portion of the professing Christian church which proclaims in sermon and in song, "This world is not our home, we are just passing through," and they tell us in hundreds of different ways, on thousands of radio and television broadcasts, that we are just waiting for Jesus to come and take a few of us off to heaven and turn the earth over to the Antichrist. So, the doctrine of the communists and the doctrine of much of the church is exactly parallel in its end. Both proclaim that the earth is to be ruled by anti-Christians and God-haters. Well, my time is almost up, Next week, God willing, we shall continue reading in the Old Testament about God's purpose for man and the earth. Paul tells us in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He was referring to the old Scriptures, for there were no other in Paul's day, and they are to be a source of learning and of hope, and we shall use them for that. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America. Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Emery, and this is another in the series we are just beginning on the searching of the Scripture for God's plan for the earth, and then to see what the Word of God might say about God's plan for our great nation, the United States of America. I read several Bible verses which lay the foundation for our desire to search these things out. First, God speaks to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 14 and verse 24 through 26 of God's purpose, which is purposed upon the whole earth, and then in verse 27 makes this direct challenge. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? If we believe that, then whatever it is that God has purposed for the earth will come to pass. Then in the New Testament, in the 24th chapter of Matthew, a chapter which is quite often referred to by the prophecy preachers, we read Christ's words about the signs of the end of this age, and then he asked this in verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" Last week we followed through on the word meat, to find it means the deep things or the hidden things of God in contrast to the milk or the simply understood things of the Bible. Paul makes it quite plain in Hebrews and in Romans that most believers are babes feeding on milk. We further found that the meat of the word, meat in due season, is, according to the last chapter of Romans, contained in the Scriptures of the prophets. In other words, in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is taught very little in the modern church. Now, don't misunderstand Pastor Emery. Everyone must understand the cross and the shed blood for atonement and believe that Jesus Christ was and is the Son of God and died for the sins committed under the first covenant, as the Scripture says. They must believe that he rose from the dead and is now in heaven. But you know, and I know, scores of churchgoers who have believed on Jesus Christ for decades, some for scores of years, and they know little or nothing about God's word for themselves and for the earth beyond the milk of salvation. The admonishment in the Scripture is over and over. Study, know, understand, search, believe, prepare, watch, be ye ready. Christians are not to remain in ignorance of the meat of the Word because of lack of studying or preaching. As I stated last week, since the meat is literally the teaching of Bible prophecy, I am going to take just one theme out of the Scripture and follow it through the books of the prophets. That theme is, what is God's purpose in the earth? I should explain for those who have been with us every week that we recently added some large radio stations covering several states, and we may have thousands of folks hearing America's promise for the first time. That is why I am reviewing here a little more than I usually do at the beginning of these broadcasts. All right, while you all stop what it is you are doing right now and get your Bibles to follow with me in this outline study of the prophets, I will repeat our free literature offer for May. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the May Health Packet. Usually, the literature we offer each month is connected to the subject of the broadcast, but this month that is not the case. Because of this drive to inoculate millions of Americans for what the doctors call flu, we have put some information together which Christians should have before they allow any medical doctor to inject diseased pus from chickens or animals into their healthy bloodstreams or the bloodstreams of their children. Every American should think about that so-called medical logic behind the injecting of disease into your bloodstream and say it makes you healthy. As one doctor in one of our articles in the May packet points out, true disease prevention is based on keeping disease out of the body, not on injecting it into the body. And as he points out, in the years since American doctors began mass injections of children for comparatively minor diseases, the major diseases, such as cancer, heart disease, lung disorders, and failure of such organs as the liver, pancreas, and kidneys, has increased by leaps and bounds. He asks, have we traded a precarious immunity to minor ailments for more serious diseases which disable and kill? It is a good question, and you'll find some answers to that question in our May Health Packet. There are four items in the literature packet this month: a 20-page excerpt reprinted from a medical book originally printed in 1873, 100 years ago, which, believe it or not, explains some of the sources of modern diseases better than your own doctor can. An article of mine titled Pestilence in America, with disease information related to Bible prophecy that there would be earthquakes and famines and pestilences in this end of the age. We also have an article on blood transfusions. Many Christians believe blood transfusions are forbidden by certain passages in the Bible, and here is some medical evidence that blood transfusions may be the major cause of hospital-spread diseases such as syphilis, hepatitis, yellow jaundice, and others. And along with that, we will include some Bible tracts, our list of books and tracts on Bible prophecy, a catalog of tape-recorded Bible studies, and our current radio log listing stations where you can hear this broadcast. All of this is free for the asking to our radio audience. Just write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, ask for the May packet. And by the way, when you write, I would appreciate it very much if you would tell us the call letters or the number on the dial of the station to which you are listening. We do need to have a general idea of where people hear America's Promise so we can stay on the best stations and use the monies contributed toward radio to best advantage. We consider ourselves stewards of the tithe money sent to America's Promise and want to invest it wisely and well. That address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. All right, now to the Bible, to continue our search to find God's purpose in the earth and in America. We began in the book of Genesis. I said we were going to read from the writings of the books of the prophets, as instructed by the New Testament, And Moses is called a prophet a number of times in Scripture. So we began at the beginning in the first book of Moses the prophet. For new listeners, I'll give a brief summary of last week. In the story of creation in Genesis 1, man was instructed to multiply and replenish the earth, Genesis 1:28. Adam was given dominion in the Garden of Eden, but cast out for disobedience and told he would die and return to the ground or to the earth from which he was taken, Genesis 3, verse 19. The Noahic flood cleansed the land of wicked men and kept Noah and his family safe to continue life on the earth in the fear of God. According to Genesis 11, men began to build the Tower of Babel to reach unto heaven and to prevent being scattered in the earth. God ended that attempt to reach heaven and scattered them back in the earth where he had given them instruction to live and to multiply. So by the time we get through the first 11 chapters, only the first 8 pages of God's Word, we see that God's origination of man had to do with populating the earth and his intervention in man's plans with the flood and the Tower of Babel forced man to return again to that original command to populate the earth and live upon it. It would seem already in these few pages that God must have great plans for the earth. And I feel constrained to interject again. You folks who are hearing Pastor Emery for the first time, especially you folks who look forward to nothing greater than leaving the earth at your death or with the so-called rapture, you stay with me. You don't turn me off, for the conclusions we shall finally reach as to God's true plans for the earth will be based on the scriptures we shall read directly from the Bible during the next several broadcasts. With most of today's preaching and most of our gospel songs having to do with man's desire to leave the earth and to go to heaven, you may perhaps think it strange that here is a preacher who intends to talk not about heaven, but about the earth. Let's go on in Genesis. We've covered briefly the first 11 chapters, now to the 12th. The first 3 verses here are quite familiar to churchgoers. This is one of the most oft-quoted passages by those who preach on prophecy. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now there is a tendency to do 2 things with this passage today, both of which may be quite unscriptural. Number 1, many say this means that God will bless those who bless the people who call themselves Jews, and will curse those who do anything against the Jews. But Abraham was not a Jew. In fact, there was no such name used in the Bible until 1 Kings 16:6, about 1,000 years after Abraham, and then it was used to designate a people who were at war with Israel. You should read 1 Kings 16, verses 1 through 6. It is also used in the Old Testament to mean a descendant of Judah, and in the book of Esther, we find that many of the people in that kingdom, quote, became Jews for the fear of the Jews fell upon them, end of quote, Esther 8, verse 17. Since according to verse 9, that kingdom stretched from Ethiopia to India, That would mean that about 3,500 years ago, many people of totally different racial backgrounds than Abraham or Israel, quote, became Jews, unquote. We also have the more recent historical record of about 1,000 years ago, when a whole people of Turco-Mongol origin in Eastern Europe adopted Judaism and began to call themselves Jews. According to H.G. Wells, in his book, The Outline of History, these people of Eastern Europe constitute about 90% of the people called Jews today, but they are not of Hebrew or Israelitish origin at all. So equating present-day Jews with chapter 12 of Genesis verses 1 through 3 and Abraham is not scripturally or historically correct, but be that as it may for now. The second use of that passage is also questionable, and that is that it relates only to Jesus Christ as Abraham's seed or descendant. It is true that there is a way in which this would or could refer to Jesus Christ, but that it also refers to Abraham's literal seed or his human descendant is made plain in the passage in which God repeated this same promise to Jacob, Abraham's grandson, in the 28th chapter of Genesis. Let's read that, Genesis 28, starting in verse 12. And he dreamed, or Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So here, in giving this same promise to Jacob that he had previously given to Abram, God makes it plain that he is talking about his posterity, calling them thy seed. He certainly could not have meant Jesus Christ when he said, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And it was in that seed as the dust of the earth, those thousands and perhaps millions of descendants of Jacob, that the families of the earth were to be blessed. Taking that in this fashion, we see that very early in the Bible story, with the call of Abraham, God has revealed at least part of his purpose in the earth and in man upon it, in that they were to be blessed through Abraham's descendants. There are several other passages which we must read in relation to this blessing of all the people of the earth through Abraham. Let's read them in order. And as we do this, remember, the first thing God said in Genesis 12 that he would do with Abraham was, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And then God said, and thou shalt be a blessing. If God meant this to be in the order of fulfillment, which he very probably did, and we'll see more of that later, then before Abram, or rather before Abraham's seed, would be a blessing to all the families of the earth, Abraham, or again rather Abraham's seed or descendants, would have to become, quote, a great nation, unquote. Now to succeeding passages. In the next verses of chapter 12, Abram obeyed God and left and went into the land of Canaan. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. So, the first specific blessing God promised to Abraham was some land. Now, some modern evangelists might think God should have just come out and quickly promised Abram that God would take him to heaven when he died, and that would be the greatest blessing that God could give him. But no such promise was made to Abram, and I might add, there is no such promise made to Abraham anywhere in the entire Bible. How about that? Not once did God Almighty anywhere in the Bible tell Abraham that Abraham would go to heaven because of his faith. I may be getting ahead of my story a little, but you just might take that little gem of information to your preacher someday and ask him to explain why, if we are to be heirs of Father Abraham, how come God never said a word to Abraham about going to heaven? That we are to inherit the Abrahamic promises is made quite plain in the New Testament. Galatians 3:7 says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And verse 29 says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So, if we are to inherit heaven, as so many modern preachers say, then it seems as if heaven should have been somewhere promised to Abraham, should it not? It hardly seems right that we should inherit the promises made to Abraham and then have someone come along and tell us we are going to inherit more than Abraham was promised. Anyway, to see if your preacher can find in the Bible where Abraham is promised heaven, and have him write and tell me about it. But let's go on with the promise to Abraham. First, it is such a little thing, a promise of some land to his descendants. Then in chapter 13, God told Abraham in verse 14 and 15, "And the Lord said unto Abram, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Here, a promise of a larger piece of land for his seed, and this time with the added term, forever. Then verse 16, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Now, if and when such a promise were to be fulfilled, that Abraham's descendants would become as numerous as the dust of the earth, we could certainly say at that time they would be a great nation. Now, God willing, we will continue this next week. I'll be reading more in Genesis, for in these promises to Abraham in the writings of the prophet Moses are laid the foundation for all subsequent prophecy and the history of the earth. Let me repeat that, so you will understand the importance of knowing these promises. In the promises and prophecies to Abraham and to his descendants is laid the foundation for all further biblical prophecy and world history. I say this, and the New Testament bears this out. If you do not know or understand what was promised in the Old Testament, you cannot know or understand what is written in the New. We'll read a little in the New Testament next week to prove that, and then continue in Genesis on into the other books of the prophets. Find what it is which God has purposed for the earth, and in that search, God willing, we will find what it is which God has purposed for the greatest nation in the earth, for America. So you stay with me. Meanwhile, write for our May Health Packet. John wrote in John 3, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. We have put together this May literature packet that you might be benefited in your physical health, just as our broadcast itself is for your spiritual health. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the May packet, and we will send you the 20 pages out of the 100-year-old medical book, also the pages from the research textbook on vaccination and inoculation. You are being scared today into accepting a vaccination for a disease about which the doctors admit they know nothing, and which they admit may not even come upon the people, and there are some who have already admitted vaccination will have adverse reactions on children, and yet they say, go ahead. You write to me and read this excerpt from this 235-page book on vaccinations and inoculations. I will also include my article, Pestilence in America, about the 300,000 Americans who die each year of tobacco-induced diseases. They tell us the flu may affect thousands and that it is a great danger, yet in the next 3 years, they know that 1 million Americans will go to their graves from tobacco, and that pestilence is legalized. In fact, as some of you know, many tobacco farmers actually receive subsidies from the taxpayers for growing tobacco. Tobacco is much more of a threat to life and health than this so-called flu could ever be. I wonder why they haven't invented a vaccine for tobacco addiction or for alcoholism, which they now label a disease. Instead, they say the flu is the great problem. If the government's vaccine for flu is as successful as its anti-communist policy, we can be assured that millions of Americans will have the flu shortly after they have been vaccinated with it. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.